For May the 19th, 2017, we talk about Sonic Forces allowing OCs do not steal, a smattering of older games, and we ask you what you spent the most time customizing in a game. Welcome to Level 197. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Moneysmith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. You just heard right, even though Dennis has not been here for several weeks, he is here now. Welcome back, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you. I got to remember how to do this. I think it involves talking. So just tell me if I'm talking wrong.
How did you escape?
It's just like talking about riding a bicycle.
Yeah, you never forget how to ring that bell. Yeah, no. So you were on vacation?
I was traveling for work. So I was in Chicago, I was in Boston. Have I been gone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
Three.
I forget what the first week I was gone for. It was so long ago. But yeah, all work related travel stuff.
Weren't you in Tennessee at some point?
I was in Tennessee over a weekend, but that was for fun.
Mm.
Where haven't I? The list of where I haven't been is probably shorter.
They have fun in Tennessee.
Oh, do they? Man, Nash Vegas.
Yeah, corn whiskey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, that's, I am led to believe that Tennessee, I've only ever been to Gatlinburg in Tennessee, which I understand is burned to the ground, or is that Pigeon Forge? Something bad happened.
Gatlinburg.
Gallenberg,
Pigeon Forge got flooded away.
Okay.
And then Prattsville got blown away in a tornado.
With a pigeon name like Pigeon Forge, you're just asking for like a pigeon / fire related disaster.
Yeah. preferably the two combined. No, I've had good times in Tennessee. I think, you know, granted,
I'm joking. Nashville is actually really pretty cool.
Yeah.
Although I still don't get the whole Parthenon thing.
You would have to give some context for that because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nashville has a scale recreation of the Parthenon in the middle of it.
Seems seems ostentatious.
The city council got super drunk one night and commissioned it.
Oh yeah, just like they get an alert from Amazon. Hey, your Parthenon showing up tomorrow. Wait, what? Oh no.
But they ship it for free. How do they do that?
Yeah, as far as I know, its main purpose is to screw up people who do that. What is that game where they show you a snapshot of some place and you have to say where it is?
That's a Google Maps mashup kind of quiz game thing. Yeah, I think
its core purpose is to fuck over people on that.
Oh, right, right.
But no, seriously, it's a completely, it's, I don't know, it confuses me.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back, Dennis.
Yeah, good to be back.
Any notable travel tales, or was it all just hotels?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, Boston was fun. I ate some really good food. The Tavern House in Boston was super good, if you ever get the chance to go there. But the more exciting stuff has been on the home front, specifically the home front, because we are looking at potentially moving.
Because I've been playing home front.
No, you're saying you're looking at moving?
Yeah, we are. Nothing urgent or immediate. Mm-hmm. But if we want our family to get bigger eventually, which I think we do, mm-hmm. We are kind of out of space. Our house doesn't have a basement. We've only got two bedrooms and we're using them both. So.
Right.
We've just been looking at other houses in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
So that's kind of started up around the same time as the business travel, which is made for a super crazy schedule.
Yeah.
Because anytime I'm not out of town, we're running around looking at houses. But
have you considered building a tower?
There is some new construction. There is some towers. We couldn't find any that were bigger on the inside than on the outside, though, and that's kind of high on our list.
Yeah, that's a key. That's kind of is there a dishwasher or is there room for one?
Right. Yeah. They just don't build them that way anymore after, what was it, 1970-something, so.
Yeah.
No, it's been fun. We've been finding some stuff we like, and it's nice to have options, so.
Nice. Well, that's cool. That's exciting.
Yeah, I might be calling in moving day favors at some point here.
Okay.
That, which I look ominously at Cole because you're the only one.
Yeah, I'm right here.
I don't know. I've got a on-site in Cincinnati probably on Thursday.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you may want to finish up Zero Dawn by Thursday.
Yeah, that's good. Well, Zero Dawn. It's Uncharted 4 that I've got to get through.
Yes.
But that's another conversation. But yeah, so that's the record. I need to have a house bought and ready to move into by Thursday, it sounds like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. No big deal. We record this on Tuesdays. So.
Yeah, you can expedite that. You can expedite those.
When I said nothing immediate or urgent? I guess I got to
Yeah, David came in and stepped on that.
Yeah, I'll move into a Parthenon.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we could all take a mulligan and just like emigrate to Austin.
Yeah.
Way too hot for me.
Easy for you.
Yeah. That a lot.
You could wait until November, maybe.
See, the thing is, I can't just live there in November. Yeah.
You say that.
Yeah.
But.
Oh man. Yeah. So I'll warn you, Dennis. If you call in a moving day favor, I am lazy and I complain a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as the shit winds up where it's supposed to go, man. You haven't said anything that scares me off yet.
No, and also you didn't say anything about the condition of the thing by the time it got there. So.
Okay. Well, then we got problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So any other cool things going on this week from the rest of the crew? I've seriously like got nothing. I've just been working on podcast stuff.
I just had boring stuff.
Cool. Well, I think that is some banter. I think we have done some banter there. That's good. But we've got the usual kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind, and why don't we get started with
the brief.
The brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us specifically. Guys, this week is dire for game news.
Yeah.
I couldn't find shit. So
not much
now
going on.
Now the dire news. Was that in the fourth edition Monster Manual?
Yeah, fourth edition, but the Monster Manual 3. So it was down there with some of the some of the Feldspar dragons. Yeah.
This week sucked for news. And video game news was bad too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, so like as opposed to just being like, you know, an increase, you know. As opposed to the nightmare zone getting stronger and stronger around us, actually, like very little is happening, it seems, in video games. But this is a lot of hemming and hawing. Does anybody have a story they want to hit first?
I'm fresh. I can jump in.
Do it.
Talk to me about some Sonic. I feel like I'm probably one of the. Have lower investment in Sonic than other people on this podcast, because Cole, I know like that was a, you know, big thing for you, and so like, but I get excited every time there's a new Sonic game that comes out with like the hope that it'll be like really good, universally acclaimed, and that's the point where I can like jump into the series.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I think so, like you can stop getting excited about that.
yeah, I know how this story ends, but for now, it's entertaining a direction they're taking it. The new Sonic Forces game is going to have a full-blown character creation mode, where you can kind of choose from one of their basic archetypes, like a Sonic-like or a Tails-like or a, you know, whatever, and then just basically skin it however you want. So there's more than one way to skin a Sonic, I guess. But this means it opens up the game to actually have playable versions of every single one of the meme versions of Sonic that has... been flying around the internet in lieu of an actual good Sonic game.
Right.
So you've got your Sanix, you've got your what is this, Cold Steel the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
you've got your
Gatto's Go Fast.
Yeah, yeah. which is this fun. Like
I wonder if you could make like Speedy Gonzales. I feel like that would be incredibly appropriate and kind of awesome.
Yeah, I feel like this is very self-aware of the developers, and that not a single person will actually be creating a character because they're excited to, like, you know, do something serious. It's all just, let's see how we can have fun and do something silly.
I think that you are drastically underestimating the earnestness of the Sonic original character community. namely, if you go on Deviant, I mean, like, this is such an old joke that it's barely a thing, but I need to make sure that you know what you're talking about. If you go to DeviantArt and if you do a search for Dennis the Hedgehog, there are all manner of people, even people who, you know, are like 12 years old, because Sonic is one of those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle things that has kind of consistently been popular among a certain set of people of a mm-hmm. particular age, just because he's never gone away. And so people will take that simple character design and then give it a different color and give him a couple of different props and say, hey, this is my original character. Do not steal. Also, here's all the things he's good at. Here are here is his anime backstory about why he has so much angst. Yeah, it is a definite thing. And so, like, yes, this is them, you know, being fan servicey, but not in the way that you think. Sonic memes, those are fun, and I think that everybody enjoys them. This is the deeper, darker part of it that I think they're giving into their Sonic Dreams collection. The worst instincts on this.
I think that my favorite way I've seen this put is, all of your fan fiction is now canon.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's a question. Do they fuck?
Oh, you know it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right. You don't even have to ask that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see what the McElroys are going to do with this. I think that's going to be some top quality content there.
Isn't he the guy that did that thrift shop song?
Thrift shop song. Oh no, you're thinking of Macklemore, maybe? No, the McElroy brothers, Griffin and Justin. They do stuff for Polygon that is very funny.
Ah.
Yeah. But yeah, Sonic Forces, like, that's the one. So Sonic Mania is coming out, and that looks good because it is a 2D game.
Mm-hmm.
Sonic Forces, that is the one that's like the 3D one that nobody wants, but still gets made every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so we'll see. An interesting twist, if you know, the Sonic series is so far gone it's hard to get excited, but
yeah.
Hey,
yeah. It seems like maybe your entry point should have been Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if you have if you can download an emulator or get a virtual console thing, like, Sonic 3 is fine. Like, anything from the Genesis era except for Sonic 3D Blast is fine.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's not like when you talk about, hey, I'm looking for my entry point into the series, like, all of that is so far back in the mist that you can just, like, fire it up and play it for 20 minutes and just kind of get what you would have gotten anyway.
Get your fix. I have on PS2 like a Sonic collection that has all the games from that era on it.
Right. Okay,
so we'll bust that out sometime.
Fire it up, like, they're fine.
I think my mistake is when I started playing that, I was like, no, I'm going to go back and start with, like, the original very first one.
Also, okay, but I think two is a better entry point because of quality of life stuff, and also I just think it's a better game. Yeah,
yeah.
I still want to see the Sonic Souls like.
I really don't. I don't want any Souls likes. Stop it, everybody. Stop it, because I don't want to hear about them anymore. So yeah, Sonic Forces. Let's see, Ben, what you got?
Okay, I got a small story that is of interest to me and maybe other people. But Toys R Us is stocking their stores with Nintendo Switches this Friday, so the day that this podcast comes out. Mostly, I just really like the quote that somebody from Toys R Us said, where it said, all Toys R Us stores nationwide will have a limited inventory of the super hot console.
Wait, the console that plays super hot? So PCs?
Apparently, yeah. So this could be cool. I've been waiting to get a Switch, but I've been waiting for the price to drop, because right now on Amazon, it's like somewhere around $400 or
$500. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where at retail, it's $299, so...
Yeah, that's not a price. Like, when you say waiting for the price to drop, you mean just, like, for anything
become
to approach...
Actual.
Yeah, just, like, to reach the MSRP as opposed to paying the scalper tax.
Exactly, yeah. So that's cool for anybody who's interested in the Switch.
Yeah.
You have a second chance to line up at a store if you want.
God. Yeah, you can go beat up a kid for it.
Yeah, fucking 2.5 months later.
Yeah.
They're good. I like my Switch a lot. That is the system I've been playing the most, you know, over the past, like, month or so.
That's it. It's brief, dude.
No, it's fine. Let's go. Let's churn through. David, what you got?
Sure. So the Humble Indie Bundle 18 was announced, and it's actually has good games, or at least games that.
Yeah, there we go. they've mostly sold good games. They finally have some games that appeal to you. I just want to make that clear.
that's actually the accurate way to say it. So they've got SteamWorld Heist, Kentucky Route Zero, Owlboy, and Goat Simulator Goaty. Also Ziggurat and Windward, which I don't know as much about, but you know, it's a thing, and there is no news this week.
This is the highest proportion of games that I A, have been interested in, but B, haven't bought already on a sale ahead of time. Yeah. Like Owlboy is one that got talked up a lot, although I understand it's a very talky game. Like there's a shitload of just bad story stuff you have to go through until you get to like the fun, ultra challenging platformer side of it. But
I've kind of heard it. I know I've heard fairly positive things about the story.
About the story. I don't know. I've just heard that there's a lot of it before you get to actually any of the, you know, hopping and bopping that you would do.
Fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
This almost seems like this for me could be like Humble Indie Bundle, all those games you've been meaning to play.
Yeah.
Especially Kentucky Route Zero. I feel bad about not playing that because that looks awesome.
Yeah, you couldn't be blamed for thinking, hey, it's an episodic game, so I want to wait for it to be finished. And then four years later, here we are.
Has it been finished yet?
No, I think they're just on Act 4 now out of 5.
At least they're up to 4. At least it's not like, yeah, they made one expansion and then disappeared.
Right. It's not like they, at least Valve got 2. so, yeah, I don't know. This looks good. SteamWorld Heist, I understand, is actually very good as well.
Is that in the same universe as SteamWorld Dig?
Yeah. It's got the same world, same aesthetic.
Yeah. Although I think it's significantly different gameplay. Like my understanding is it's turn-based strategy combined with platforming, kind of.
Yeah, it's like
it looks a bit like a Worms.
Yeah, it's like side-scrolling 2D stealth kind of thing.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, like its big kind of mechanical twist is that your bullets ricochet.
Yeah,
I just watched the trailer, and there's a lot of explosions for stealth being its thing. So,
you know, I think it's just the presence of those. Everyone's already dead. Stealth is, stealth is easy.
Yeah. Yep.
As long as you explode everybody at once, it's stealthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Metal Gear Solid 5 taught me. That and bye-bye balloons are good. No, this looks like it's going to be fun. I'm going to pick it up after this because that came up in my research as well. Let's see. So I'm going to give you guys an option. We have two stories about Pokemon. So let's call those Pokemon A, Pokemon 2. All right. And then I have a story about a new thing possibly coming to the Switch.
Is this one of those prisoner's dilemma things?
Oh, yeah. One of these will die.
why can't we call it like Pokemon Sunflower Yellow and Pokemon Seabreeze Blue or something?
I don't know. I wanted to keep it as neutral as possible. So Pokemon A, Pokemon 2, or Switch release.
Why not Pokemon A and Pokemon 1?
I don't. God damn it! I just want to do this story.
Why
I haven't
not
made a
Pokemon 360 and Pokemon 1.
You sound like
why
Twitter.
Are you Pokemon you said, 2 down, Cole.
You sound like Twitter now. Stop.
I'm
going
to vote for Pokemon 2 because of the slight that you gave it.
Okay. Pokemon Jeez, 2, Electrode Bugaloo.
Yeah, out of spite.
Yeah.
I love an underdog story.
Okay.
This is how Trump got elected, by the way.
P.S. This had better be an underdog story.
Oh, it's really not because it has to do with Pokemon. It's the most popular thing in the entire world. No, so this is
it
also
does have dog.
This is also a very dumb story. Dennis, you have children, I am led to believe.
Yes, you could have about 5 days ago.
What's that?
I said last time I checked, which was about 5 days ago, we should really open their doors and see if they're still kicking around.
Ah, they'll take care of each other. It's fine. have you ever been to the Build-A-Bear workshop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So not with my kids, but yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. Because of course you wouldn't.
Is that stepping on your story? I don't want to ruin your setup here.
No, no, it's fine. I'm just like there's literally nothing to this, so I just wanted to make it a conversation. Okay, that's smart. It's kind of like how you never let a kid know what a Chuck E. Cheese is.
Yes. Oh God, yes.
Oh no, yeah, that's why you let them play Five Nights at Freddy's.
That's why that merchandise is so popular. The kids don't want it, the parents want it for the kids. So this is such a non-story, guys. You fucked up, you picked wrong. The
just like Trump getting elected.
Yeah, the Pokemon, stop being so political.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'd be a hypocrite if I actually meant that. No. The Pokemon Company has teamed up with Build-A-Bear to expand the lineup of available Pokemon at their stores. So prior to this, they had Pikachus, Eevees, and Charmanders, and now they have Squirtles available as well.
The day has come.
But here's the thing. All right, this actually is kind of some bullshit. So you think Build-A-Bear, you think, okay, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to take this husk. And I'm going to put it into the foam gun and I'm going to overfill this with stuffing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it,
why am I rock hard right now?
Right. But no, like it's about the process. Like it's literally called Build-A-Bear. You go there make your own thing. You pick out the sunglasses and you're good. All right, so there are two versions of this. There's the one that you buy online, which just sounds awful, but it's like this whole big pack that has a Pokeball sticker. It has a hoodie that you can put on your little dude there. Mm-hmm. But notably, it comes with the voice box. All right, you know, like the little dingus that you put inside of the stuff, the stuffed animal that would make this thing say Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle. Right, which mm-hmm. is half of the reason you would have a Pokemon toy is to have it make the noise. Okay, fine, good. $60, everything there is really overpriced. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You can go and get the version at the store for $28. However, you can't get the voice box in the store.
That oh god, like I would pay more to make sure I had the version without the voice box.
Yeah, they fucked up.
This is the pro tip from the kid guy with kids, right? The kid with guys. The guy with kids. You don't want anything that makes noise as a toy.
Yeah, we call those grandma gifts.
Yes.
Those will go to grandma's house.
Yeah. Yeah. Or grandma kind of drops and is like, have fun with that. I'll see you in a month. Well, I'll hang out with the kids for an hour and then give them back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I think I would expect the version without the voice box to be more expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know, again, like you're not marketing to the kids. You know, like they're gonna want they're gonna want something that is colorful and soft and shiny because they're idiots. But
yeah, because
you know,
that's what describes turtles is you know soft.
Yep. This one is, yeah. I just thought that was kind of ridiculous. You make a very good point though, yeah. Dennis. I think that this actually is a selling point. I thought that they were missing the point, but actually, no. I was the one who was missing the point. So
it's not a bug; it's a feature.
Yeah, and this is why a diversity of life experiences is a good thing.
Randomly enough, is there a bear Pokemon?
I think there.
Snorlax is close.
Yeah, Snorlax is pretty close. I'm sure one of the 800 or so is actually, you know, a bear Pokemon. Because I only know the first 200 and 220 or something, you know, in my noggin, I couldn't say like, oh, there's Bear Tar, the bear Pokemon.
A quick Google search appears that yes. However, they all sort of look like, you know, those, you know, like in the Middle Ages where they'd like try to do an illustration of like a tiger, but they've never seen him before.
Oh, yeah. And it kind of has like weirdly human face.
Yeah. And crap like that. Like, that's basically what these all look like is it looks like if you tried to do like various species of grizzly bears and stuff, but all you've ever seen is the panda.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, it's either like teddy bears or it's you know, there's some fan art. There's a like Adventure Time fan art. Okay. I think we've mined this. Oh boy. What is this?
Leak? There's a Pokemon called Slaking that is pretty close to a bear.
It looks like some kind of weird gibbon with a pig nose.
It's like a bear pig.
Okay. Huh. I think we pumped this well for all it's got.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, I asked them about customization. So what's the most effort that you've put into customizing something in a game, and were you happy with the result?
Yeah, and I'll get us started here with Evan, who says, I play a lot of Minecraft on my own custom mod pack, so I spent a huge amount of time customizing the pack itself, then even more time doing meticulous builds inside the game. My current game, I've spent about 200 hours customizing a Jurassic Park-themed base and laboratories to grow and house dinosaurs. It's one of the most satisfying things that I do in games.
This is very important to me. Can you actually grow and house dinosaurs in Minecraft? Or is he just designing like the facilities too?
I'm positive there is a mod that lets you cultivate some kind of dino. I'm not sure at what scale. I guess they have like dragons and shit in there now, or the Ender Dragon or something. Like,
I'm really disappointed. Never mind. That's way too tangential even for us.
Okay, I admire your restraint. I cannot say that I would have extended us the same courtesy.
We're growing ever so slowly.
No.
When did you know you were an adult?
Yeah. I learned how to manage my segues.
Yeah. So, yep, Minecraft would do it, especially when you get into those mods. Oh my god, Evan, I cannot imagine like what the updating process is for that.
Oh god.
I'm just imagining like the image I have in my mind from this is he sets this up and it's like, you know, everything was going great until a Enderman removed the, you know, the power core and allowed all of the dinosaurs to escape.
Yeah, yeah. Until that
removed
creeper,
the redstone and all of the gates be electrified.
All the gates opened up. Yeah.
All I can think of is Evan's probably been really busy seeing if he could do this, that he never wondered if he should do this.
There you go. Ben found it. He found it, guys.
6 degrees to could or should.
Yeah. Could or should. I like that. That is a good that is a good shorthand, actually. Ben, what does Sam say?
Sam says, I spent literally tens of minutes in Saints Row 2 making my character look like Count Weirdly from the classic newspaper comic Shylock Fox. Unfortunately, the sequels tone the costume options way the hell down and don't give you the character's cartoon proportions that aren't giant muscle person. Mm. Coincidentally, I just downloaded some tools for making skins in Euro Truck Simulator 2 American Truck Simulator. But this question was asked today, not in the future. Point.
Yeah, no, I just I want to see how realistic the mud flap rendering is in that there game. Yeah. No, I need to. So everybody talks up the Saints Row 2 character customization. I only ever played 3 and 4. I think I own 2. I just need to go in there and play around with it so I can get a good appreciation for it.
Yeah. I jumped on at 3 as well, so.
Yep.
If you can make someone that looks like Count Weirdly, then then it's got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who has never heard of this comic before, by the way?
Psylocke Fox?
Yeah.
It's so I don't know if it's old-timey. I just wonder if it was kind of obscure. I only heard about it roughly like in college or adulthood when people made references to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figured I'd just, you know.
David, what does David say?
David says, I have probably spent more time decorating my base in Terraria than mining or killing bosses. I've played lots and lots of Terraria.
Yeah. Is there a lot of base customization in Terraria?
There's not a ton of functional base customization. And at least as far as I saw, I mean, they've put in so many patches, but there's not a lot of like bespoke stuff. But a lot of people have done some really cool like castles and you know things like that.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit think more like classic Legos as opposed to like actually having like gates and I don't know doohickeys.
Like just you're dealing with it's almost like pixel art at that point.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And people have come out with some really cool stuff.
Nice.
Like I've seen some really cool like tree houses and stuff.
Hmm.
I just had the realization you could probably recreate a fair amount of Castlevania in Terraria.
Huh. Yeah. See, you've spoken it into existence. You've secreted
it.
Yeah,
it's got to be a thing, right?
Yeah. Has to be.
Yeah.
Dennis, what does Stuart say?
Stuart says, Fashion Souls has taken hours of my life.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. It's customization where the customization requires you to like get to NG plus three and then go kill this boss before you sequence break over to this thing. And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can come up with the outfit, but then you have to do the most time and effort intensive shopping you're ever going to have to do.
Yeah.
Outside of getting a Switch. yeah.
See, once I got the, which outfit was it? That was like the hooded trench coat.
I can't remember.
It's like one of the swamp levels, the hooded trench coat with like the full plate helm. That was basically my outfit for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And armor makes such a small difference for most of the time, unless you are specifically specking up for a particular boss that like Fashion right. Souls makes a ton of sense to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas writes, Phantasy Star Online character creation. I used to spend hours just making new characters with different colors, types, and weapons. The patience of a child is a beautiful and absurd thing.
Oh, this is fun. Do you guys remember one of my roommates freshman year was crazy into World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Point of threatening to kill us if we ever disconnected his computer.
Yes.
And us really believing him. So
I feel like we brought this up before, and I feel like every time we do, I have to apologize for my RA duties being very bereft in that situation.
No, you're good. But like there was a point at which I went in and I was like, so tell me about WoW, like show me how to create a character, just because I was like, I feel like I should have some kind of human connection to you, because so when you do come through the dorm with whatever.
Right.
It's like the scene from was that
you're thinking of Billy Madison where he calls the guy to apologize. He calls Steve Buscemi and then he crosses Billy's name off the
Lebowski,
list.
And I knew that was wrong.
Well, I mean you probably yeah. It's the Buscemi connection. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How's the chase scene in the Buscemi connection?
I should probably feel ashamed of how quickly I identified that scene when you said it's like that scene where.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Ben,
but
what
yeah,
we...
good.
Oh, yeah, good, good.
MMO character creation is fun stuff.
But did he like walk you through it and like did he vehemently defend the fact that there were only like four options for any given thing?
This is the crazy thing. I could kind of tell he was getting annoyed that I was taking so long without, you know, like, cause I was on his account, whatever, which meant that he was not playing while I was creating my character. And I got to the point where I like, even though I didn't take a ton of time to create the character, like it was very clear at the end of it. No, I'm not inviting you to actually jump in and try this. I need to get back to my thing.
Right. Yeah. The last thing that I want is something that would involve less. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That's concerning. Ben, what does Jeremy say, or Thomas say? Jeremy, there we go.
Jeremy says, my XCOM 2 soldiers, who are always based on friends and family, setting yourself up for tragedy, but okay, usually put in the work to get as close a resemblance as possible. It's a lot of effort for a bunch of useless jerks who routinely blow a 95% chance to hit roll.
But what is family for?
For disappointing you. Yeah. Wait, why don't we both go to that at the same time?
Let's not analyze it. Let's just move on.
Universal truth.
Yep. Let's just steamroll past that one.
That's depressing.
Do. Yeah, never played XCOM 2. I do not know. Like, do you have like real options? Can you do like cheekbone structure? Because that is my metric for a character generator or whatever. Oh, yeah. They get you down XCOM, to cheekbones?
XCOM, I can't remember for XCOM 1, but XCOM 2 definitely has a ton of customization options.
Yeah,
body language and stuff, right?
You can do body language and everything, and the facial stuff is, I think, pretty in-depth as well, which is insane for a game where every time I load into the tactical map, I immediately zoom out as far as possible.
Of course.
Yeah.
I feel like I've asked this before, but something that always bothered me, on the, select your level map or whatever, there's, continuously running, date that goes down to, the second. If you sit there long enough, will it actually advance time?
It will. And I've actually lost games that way where it's like a StarCraft thing. I didn't have my clicks per minute high enough. And it was down to the wire, literally to the second, of whether or not I would have a satellite built in time for the end of the month to launch it. And just because I took too much time in the menus, it was 30 seconds after instead of 30 seconds before the end of the month.
Wow.
So it does make a difference.
Such bullshit.
But that's you can literally just hit the escape key, and then you've got all the time in the world to sit there and think without having to worry about the game clock moving forward. So,
yeah. Let's see here. Who is next? David, what does Eric say?
Eric says, "You ever spend 30 minutes fussing with the face on an Elder Scrolls character? Only to realize later that you will basically never look at it." Yeah, that with Oblivion. To be fair, the default faces are horrid, but you get over it. I don't think I ever managed to, in any Elder Scrolls game, create a character that wasn't horrifying to look at.
And that's a thing. That's a thing.
Like, that's
for
why
Bethesda
you play
stuff.
The Khajiit, right?
Yeah. I think so. It matters a little bit more for Fallout because you occasionally get those close-ups and the slow-mo VATS kills and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
my general heuristic for games like that where the face doesn't really matter is I'll scroll through the presets until one of them evokes a movie star, and then I'll spend all of 3 minutes trying to make it look a little bit more like that movie star and then go in. So
right.
my most recent playthrough of Dark Souls 2 was with my playthrough of Bloodborne was with Ryan Gosling, and my playthrough of Dark Souls 3 was Jackie Chan.
Nice.
Oh well, yeah, and Journey to the West, you've already got never mind.
Yep, see, it sucks that I cannot pull Journey to the West, but I can pull Billy Madison. What the fuck is wrong with me? Somebody failed me in my life.
But you played this, Dennis, Enslaved. Your main character?
Your main character's name is Monkey in Enslaved.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Were you just bringing that up because you liked that game a lot, or...
I have no idea. I was going this
always,
is one of
I always
those
thought
speech.
I always thought Monkey in that game looked vaguely like Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Okay.
There we go.
I found it again.
So Cole is able to read me when I go, "You know that scene." And I'm able to read David when he goes, "You know that game."
Yeah.
This is like a see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil sort of situation.
Wow.
It's like rock, paper, scissors for mental block.
I'm just calling it. I think we should just call the episode now.
Yeah, this is actually a shocking level of codependence that we've stumbled on. that we've uncovered, but it's always been there. That we just became not numb to. And I'm just not that crazy about it. But yeah, Oblivion, don't spend any time making your character there. Come on. Dennis, what does Alex say?
See here, Alex says, "When I played Dragon's Dogma, I spent a long time making my pawn look like a female version of Terry Gilliam. I called her Terry Gilliam." play with an I instead of a Y, of course. Probably not worth it because I ended up quitting the game 6 to 8 hours in because I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing. That is true. You know, you've got a game you're not sure about, and it's like, am I going to love this? And so I should really think about character creation, or yeah. Like,
are you going to burn a character? And the Dragon's Dogma, it actually gets a little bit trickier too, because you don't just design your character, you also design your pawns.
Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
And I guess for a little bit of insight, you have to choose from a list of names.
See, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Are all the names voiced?
I believe so, but it's also so that I'm not sure if it's voiced. I think there might be, but the main thing is so that you don't those populate into other people's games. So yeah, that keeps you from getting like Weed Smoker 420 or whatever.
That is the least creative stoner ever.
Yeah.
He was sober when he made that name.
Oh, okay. He was just thinking about going into the life. That's really funny.
Also, isn't Terry Gilliam a dude?
A Monty Python person, yeah.
Yeah,
also
yeah.
Director.
Yeah, director. He did Brazil.
Oh, female version of Terry Gilliam. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I was confused for okay.
Which is interesting too, because there's one movie that he did where he said that after making it he felt like his inner person was a small female girl.
Huh. Which one was that?
It's the one with the girl maybe from Matilda. I forget what it's called. Who's gonna help me out with the recall on this?
I really should, but yeah.
I'll look it up. Yeah. I'll recall myself in a few seconds.
Yeah. Let's see. Jonathan writes, during character creation, I usually pick a default and change it a little. I did the same for Elder Scrolls Online, and every couple of months, I get complimented on my look. I feel like saying it comes with the box. It takes less than 5 minutes. You can have it yourself. You absolutely should. Just say like, oh yeah, no, it's stock. But that might read as false modesty. This is tricky. This is very tricky. But yeah, that is my heuristic. I very much am done with, again, messing with eye depth or chin height.
Right. Yeah.
I have no time for that.
The worst is when you put the slider over and you're like, I have no idea what I just changed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm moving the slider. I can't see what's changing.
I am rotating the head. There is nothing about this.
Yeah.
I feel like what I wish I could have is like, I wish there was a mode where it just came with like stereotype packs.
Oh, why?
just because, just so it's like, you know, because I have no idea how like the 82 chin options go. So just like, I don't know, just give me like, you know, a manly chiseled chin or.
Like name them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
Well, like they do with hairdos.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
some really creative names for hairdos in games.
And City of Heroes sort of did that, although theirs tended to be, you know, it being comic books, they'd be kind of corny, but they'd, you know, there'd be one where it was like, you know, brainy, and it would just be the sort of like character that has like the huge like like forehead because he's so smart, you know, that sort of thing. That might not be so appropriate to say like Dark Souls, but
yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's what presets are good. Like have a good set of presets.
Yep.
So we're guessing that the movie's gonna be called Tideland, back to the other thing.
Okay.
And it's the girl from Silent Hill is the girl in it.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I have no recollection of that movie, so I do not need to feel bad.
Wait, Silent Hills was a movie?
No.
No, just the Silent Hill movie. Let's see, Ben, what does Michael say?
Michael says, money is tight in our household, so part of my part of my wife's anniversary gift last year was some custom Fallout 4 content. She loves the game. I spent 100 hours building a spooky haunted mansion on a remote island in the game, complete with gloomy atmosphere, hidden rooms, flickering lights, and a mad scientist lab in the basement. I took various audio tapes from the game and left them around the house. so that you discover them in a particular order. The reorganized recordings told a new story. An eccentric ghoul billionaire who would lure people to the island with promises of safety, then lock them up for sinister experiments. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is really creative. I like that.
Does Fallout 4 have like some equivalent of like redstone crafting that I didn't know about?
The base creation's like very open.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like resource gathering, and then you can make kind of whatever you want to make in your home base area.
Yeah. I guess I didn't realize you could do like, you know, he's talking about like hidden rooms, and like, I guess I didn't realize you could actually make it do stuff or whatever. Yeah.
I'm sure that I would not put it past Michael to also like play around with the Gek.
That's
and
true.
Actually, you know, kind of get in there, and if you needed something, put it in. Yeah.
Also, I feel like we have to read his reply. Oh, I almost forgot the most important part. After the mansion was done, I filled it with cats because she loves cats.
Yeah,
that's great.
David, what does Brian say?
Brian says, I very carefully move sliders around for hours to make my beautiful Dark Souls princesses.
Well, if they're princesses, yeah. I mean, no question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I have anything more to add to that. Dennis, what does Greg say?
Greg says, making my main character in Fallout games in Mass Effect, about an hour on them.
Hmm.
Oh, boy. That's why you really get a block like your entire night when you start a new game.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I feel like Mass Effect's actually, now that I think of it, the only game I can really think of where, like, I've heard of characters becoming very attached to, like, the appearance of their character and stuff that.
That's my story. We'll get to that when we get there, but yeah. And finally, Tim says, I worked for a short time in QA for THQ in 2009. The title was WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2010, and it came with a very robust character creation feature. When you have 60-plus hours every week for months on end to perfect Naruto characters, Vasquez from Aliens, and the cast of Ghostbusters, you know that you are near the brink of sanity, he says. You know that you are near the brink of sanity. Fortunately, I don't do that anymore. I'm going to hope that that's just some kind of slip. Or that is intentional. I'm not sure which is more entertaining of the possibilities. So my answer would be Mass Effect. So not so much the first time. Like, I think I did something similar. Like, I chose a preset, and, you know, for Mass Effect 1, made a couple of adjustments. Like, oh yes, this will be a character that I want to look at. Okay, let's go fire. And by the end of Mass Effect, I got so attached to that character. Like, okay, well, fortunately, I can import this into Mass Effect 2. But there was something wrong with the Mass Effect 2 importer. It was either that certain values got messed up, or that it just, you know, the rendering style made it look not all wrong, but quite wrong. So I think that I maybe spent more time. I spent more time fixing the Mass Effect 2 imported character to make her look like my Mass Effect 1 character than I did making my Mass Effect 1 character. Yeah, so, you know, they just one of those weird little things, the vagaries of, I think, literally like taking over a code. Like, I took a cell phone picture of the screen so I could enter the code in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
it just always bothered me in that character creation that there's no way that half those hairstyles were military regulation.
No. Absolutely not. Ben, how about you?
All right, so trying to go back in the recesses of my memory, I think one thing that was big in GTA San Andreas, I did a lot of like customization of all the different like homes you have around the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like trying to match, like, this car is going to go in this location and have this theme, and this car is going to go here, that sort of thing. I think the most satisfying customization I had was doing like a kind of like homeless looking person in the Fallout games, just because of the VAT system, when he's just angrily gunning something down, is very satisfying. Or like a brutally ugly shepherd, and going through like the first half of the game with that was also pretty satisfying as well. That was the Renegade playthrough.
Of course. David, how about you?
I'm usually not real big into a lot of this, but I'm forced to give a shout out to City of Heroes. But I don't know. I spent a lot of times in Saints Row the Third customizing cars, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you can do a lot of fun stuff with that. And unfortunately, 4 made that kind of irrelevant, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, even in 3, I didn't really spend a lot of time customizing cars visually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's not much point to it, but it's fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just something I didn't care about that you did. But, like, did you have a lot of options? Could you do, like, crazy stuff?
You can't do too crazy. Really, it was more just like making what I thought was cool and actually being able to afford pearlescent paint, unlike in real life.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You could do some fun stuff. It was interesting the degree to which, and I wonder if this was like to conserve developer resources. It was interesting the degree to which you could take a car that like straight up looked like you know, like a super budget, like just crappy car, and then put on like a bunch of pipes and trim and stuff like that and have it look like a sports car. And so I always wondered if that was just a way for them to like not have to model more cars.
Oh yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, just to have a couple of different like footprints, like, hey, here's a four-door sedan, and then you just change the chrome around.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think other than that, I'd have to call out City of Heroes is, I think, still the best character creator of any game I've ever played.
Destiny, you said?
City of Heroes.
City of Heroes. Sorry.
Yeah. No, Destiny is very much like you can't really make your character look like
no any. Destiny is you have 6 billion options and all of them look the same.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Different different colors of LED chrome on your thing,
and you literally do not see your character's face in it outside of, like, in any story elements until like the third expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis, round us out.
Yeah, so I'm going to be very similar. I spent a ton of time with car customization in Midnight Club 3, I think it was.
I remember that. That was badass.
Had an entire garage. And I think that one was the sweet spot, because I tried the Midnight Club, I think it was LA, for the next generation, or at the time, the next generation. And it was just like, it was too high fidelity, therefore anything I did felt, you know, not good enough.
Right.
Whereas Midnight Club 3, it was on PS2, and you could do like just enough, you know, customization. It was just enough low fidelity that it looked like the stuff you did custom looked as good as the stuff that was like the, you know, others or whatever.
Yeah, you guys care about your cars and games an awful lot in a way that I don't.
Yeah, and not at all in real life.
Yeah.
I know. I like my Jeep.
Yeah. But cool. Yeah, that's all of those are good responses. Thank you everybody for writing in. If you want to participate in these, head on over to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for those to go up on Tuesday afternoons. Thanks to Dennis and Jala and anybody who suggests them.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Dennis, you have been away for quite a while, so I want to hear what you have been up to while you've been traveling.
I have, yeah, and I've got a big new one to talk about, which was conveniently provided by you, Cole. Uncharted 4. So that was my next big title after I finished Horizon Zero Dawn, and I'm just keeping the AAA titles rolling here. It's been a good ride so far.
Nice.
So I, you know, most of the time I pretend like Uncharted 3 doesn't exist. And the biggest thing that stood out for me in Uncharted 4 was that in many ways it is telling the same story as Uncharted 3 in a better way. And so it's one more reason to hate Uncharted 3.
because it is now not necessary?
Well, yeah, it's not necessary. And it means that Uncharted 4, which I'm liking better, I'm not finished with it yet, but it feels like kind of awkwardly rehashing some things that were covered in Uncharted 3. And it's like, I like the Uncharted 4 version of it better, but, you know, they have to kind of acknowledge that Uncharted 3 existed, where I'm afforded the luxury of just pretending that it doesn't.
See, I never understood why. I mean, if you're making the game, just, you know, just be like, yeah, 3 never happened.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. That's for sure.
Go the Disney route.
I'm still hoping that that's what Disney does with episodes 1-3 of Star Wars.
They already have.
Hey, guys. Yeah. You know what we should do is make prequels.
They need to do it with Rogue One now, though, too.
Was that bad? No, it's the internet needs everything to be terrible. Come on, people. Anyway, it says the guy who refuses to acknowledge that Uncharted 3 exists. So, just specifically, Uncharted 3, the story deals a lot with, at the beginning of the game, you know, Nathan and Ellie? Alana? Damn it, I can't remember her name.
I can't recall. I think Alana sounds more Alana, like it.
Yeah, Elena.
I think Ellie is the name of the little girl from Last of Us.
No, it's Elena. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They clearly had been married and split, and the story in large part is about them kind of reconciling.
Right.
But splitting stuff was before Uncharted 3 happened. It kind of is in medias res that way, I guess. Whereas Uncharted 4, you're actually watching that split kind of happen in some ways, without going into detail. But like, and I think that is more effective.
Yeah.
Like I would rather have seen the mechanics of that. And I think that is going to make it more satisfying as, you know, hopefully, I don't know how it ends, but hopefully the characters work through that and like come to some resolution on the other side. That is more powerful. But again, it feels like that arc is incredibly similar to Uncharted 3, just a better angle on it.
Right.
Which, you know, it's fine. I'm loving Uncharted 4, and I'm glad they're telling the story that they are. And there's just this ugly little skeleton in their closet. The other interesting thing that I think they're doing with the story in Uncharted 4 is that Nathan Drake's brother, for the first time, introduces a character that you are not sure how much they actually have Nate's best interests at heart. And I didn't realize that was the dynamic I was seeing until fairly far into the game. And I kind of thought back through the series, and I'm like, no, every character in the series up till now, it's been very clear. This is either a person who is for Nathan Drake and like has his best interests at heart, or this is a character who is actively against him and wants to throw him off a cliff.
Right.
And, you know, there's different takes on those things, but the motivations kind of fall very conveniently into those two camps. There's the good guys and there's the bad guys, right? There's the people who want Nate to be happy and have a good life. And then there's the people who want him to die.
Right.
Whereas now with his brother, Sam, this is someone who's very driven by, you know, finding this treasure and that's his primary goal. And obviously he has a huge history with Nate, but you're not sure throughout the game, like how much, you know, you don't trust Sam to keep Nate's best interests at heart.
Right.
And that's a very interesting dynamic. And I like the way that that's playing out. So that's a really cool piece. Again, that's new for them, which kind of recovers some of the rehashing that they're having to do on the relationship side.
Yeah. So from the portion that I played, I think I played like the majority of like the first third of the game, something like that.
Were you in Scotland?
Yeah. Yeah. I got to Scotland and things just kind of petered out. Like the approach to the castle or the cathedral or whatever was just not that compelling.
Yeah, I agree.
They captured the bleakness of Scotland.
I like the bleakness of Scotland. I just do not, or I imagine I would. I like it in theory.
You can only slide down so many gravel hills.
Yeah, yeah, but just like it wasn't that engaging from a play perspective. And I was like, yeah, this is gonna go down, and then immediately it never came back up. It never went back into the PS4. Mm-hmm. But up to that point, like it was very much the game about Nathan and Sam. So I didn't catch as many of the details about him and Elena that you're like hitting on as like the main thrust of the game.
Yeah, that definitely comes to the forefront at certain points in the game later on. So you weren't like missing anything. You just hadn't gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
That's getting into mechanically. There's kind of like two big new things that the game is doing. The first is a grappling hook, which is always a good decision and always makes games better. Mm-hmm. And then there is sliding down hills, which I don't understand why this mechanic is featured so prominently in so many different places. Just you will hit embankments that you are sliding down.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, just mechanically, all it means is you either press the button at the correct time to leap off of it, or you, in my experience, just get deposited onto a safe landing and have to spend 5 minutes climbing back up to the jump.
Yeah, it's like it's all just kill me and set me back at the top, please. Yeah. There's not bad reload times in Uncharted, mercifully. So
yeah,
let's just do that instead of having me have to climb back up. Yeah, it's brutal. So there's gravel pits in Scotland, and then it's mud banks in Madagascar and wherever else. Like, it's just that feels unnecessary, and they could have added the grappling hook. So often it's paired with the grappling hook stuff.
Yeah.
And they didn't need to do that. They could have just added the grappling hook stuff and been fine. But the other big thing that they've added, and I've only been through one section like this so far, was like more open world vehicle based sections, where you are like driving to a point, getting out, exploring that point, hopping in the vehicle, driving to the next point, getting out, exploring that. So there's this like back and forth between driving in the vehicle and exploring a point. And I absolutely love, love, love that piece of it.
Yeah.
Particularly like early in the first level where you're doing this, like I wasn't sure how on rails it was going to be, where like, okay, like, you know, Uncharted has had driving sections before. So is this just another one of those? I'm like, okay, I'm in a vehicle for a little bit. That's fun. That's cool. But no, truly, like you come over the crest of a hill, you see that there is a, you know, an encampment down in the valley that is, you know, has a bunch of enemy forces in it. And Nathan Drake, like the voiceover work in this game is fantastic. And just the way they work dialogue into the gameplay is awesome. Because Drake goes, okay, guys, just follow my lead. And from there, you can decide to either drive in your vehicle and like just go in guns blazing, or park the vehicle, get out and approach stealthily and try to take out the camp that way.
Yeah.
And either way, like the AI responds and your partners will hop out and follow you or stay in the vehicle and fire from the vehicle.
Hmm.
And that, you know, that fight unfolds very, very differently depending on what you choose. And that was like an, oh wow moment for me. Like the game is all about set pieces. There wasn't anything, you know, visually amazing about this encounter. It was just the fact that they designed around two wildly different approaches. And, other games have done that. Oh, you can go the loud way or you can go the stealthy way, but it winds up feeling fairly prescriptive. Whereas this felt like truly, truly open, and accommodating. So nice. that was really good as well.
Yep. I never got that far. To see those and all the preview coverage kind of focused on them as not like on rails, but like particularly in like chase sequences. There was that one at E3 a while back. Where you're
that one is a little bit on rails. You do have to stay in the car for that one.
But yeah, like I mean, that sounds like something incredibly different for them to actually like give you a choice of where you go, as opposed to keeping you on the Uncharted roller coaster.
Yeah, it's categorically not open world, but it felt like it. Like they did a good job simulating the feeling that I could go anywhere.
Yeah,
which I really appreciated. They're doing that a little bit in the section I'm in now. It's all on foot, so there's no vehicle. But I just kind of noticed as I was playing that the climbing puzzles felt much more open. Like there were different ways I could approach it. The levels as I was going through combat felt way less linear than they have before. Generally you can kind of see like, okay, this is a combat amphitheater. And then I go through a hallway to a new combat amphitheater.
Yeah.
It felt like it was all just kind of muddled together in a really fun, crazy way.
Yeah.
In Uncharted 4.
Yeah. And the climbing, I mean, quote unquote puzzles, like, you know, the climbing got more interesting with the grappling hook. It felt like because you're not, you know, you were not just looking, you know, within handhold or safe leaping distance, you're actually keeping an eye out for these things that may be, you know, just add a different kind of like topology to the
exactly. Yeah. Suddenly the relevant radius went from 5 feet to about 50.
Right.
which is great. That's what the game needed.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's beautiful as always. I'm having fun. I haven't touched multiplayer yet, which I'm intrigued to because I liked it in 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very glad that you lent this out to me.
Cool. Well, I hope that like, how far do you think you are from the end? Because I also like, I got discouraged because it is an incredibly long game for that type of game.
Yeah, I honestly, I have no idea. Like the whole thing with Uncharted games is the location hopping. It's like the Indiana Jones movie or whatever, where it's like, okay, now you're in Paris, now you're in Madagascar, now you're here, now you're there. And so I've made 1, 2, maybe 3 big location changes.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how many more are left. Like I could understand if the place I'm at is the final destination, because it is starting to feel like that, like just the ruins that I'm finding and stuff.
Yeah.
But I could totally see if they were going to do like left turn, now you get to finish the game somewhere else.
Yeah.
I could totally see that as well.
I feel like if it's the final destination, shouldn't the big twist be that you have to fight Kirby?
Yeah, it's just Fox. It is just Fox.
Something took away all my items. And...
yeah. The final fight takes place in Drake's or in Nathan Drake's attic.
Yeah.
I love that intro. That intro is really good.
Oh yeah, yep. It's pretty strong. It was amazing how much time I spent derping around in that attic.
Of course.
So unforced.
Any other thoughts on Uncharted 4?
No. I'll keep you guys updated on it.
Cool. What else? You've been playing anything different?
Yeah, embarrassingly little. I went back to Heroes of the Storm, which is Blizzard's MOBA, because they did a huge update in the way they handle rewards. So not so much the game itself, but like all the surrounding rewards and loot boxes and stuff. And they did a good job updating that. And it's made it feel a lot better to play a new character.
Oh, nice.
So basically you now get loot boxes the same way that you do in Overwatch, only instead of it being tied to your overall level, it's tied to each individual character's level. And, you know, there's something like 80 characters in the game or 60.
Yeah.
Meaning that, you know, if you want to go try a new character, you're going to level them up relatively quickly and get rewarded with a bunch of these loot boxes in a row.
Yeah.
And so it's just a great little metagame incentive to be more creative, to try new and you know, things you're not as familiar with. And for some reason, I think in Heroes of the Storm, with games closer to 20 minutes than, you know, 40 or an hour, like in League of Legends, I feel much more permission to play a character on a whim.
Yeah, because you're not committing somebody else to 45 minutes of you getting used to a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that's been fun. They are doling out rewards very heavily right now. And I don't know if it's just they've decided that for a month they're really going to go all in on getting people to play Heroes of the Storm. But if you play Heroes of the Storm with a friend for a certain number of games, you get rewards not just in Heroes of the Storm, but in Overwatch as well, which is pretty cool. So I've been grinding away on doing that, and it's been fun.
Hmm.
But there's like I've you know, tried that before. Nothing too crazy to say about that one. They did a good job updating it. Yay!
It revived your interest briefly.
I'm not going to spend any money on it, but I'll come check you guys out. Spend some mind share on it.
Cool. Is that all?
That's me.
Awesome. Ben, I want to hear what you've been playing.
All right. I got a curveball this week.
Uh-oh.
But to go through the non-curveballs, still playing Rocket League. Dawned on me today that I'm playing Drop Shot more than I'm playing the original Rocket League. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty satisfied with the fact that they were able to make like as good of a game. Because, you know, that's kind of hard to do.
Right.
The other one that I played is I picked up and played Framed after hearing Jala talk about it last week.
Oh, yeah.
So the app game where you kind of switch around the panels of a comic strip.
Yeah, which then.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was trying to figure out the mechanic that Child was talking about before the end, and I think I figured out which one it was, but I'll have to talk to her about it later. But yeah, overall, I thought it was cool. I thought it was a pretty straightforward puzzle type game. Had fun experimentation, and the style was really nice. The only thing that was a little bit weird of it is the music's kind of weird. Like if you're playing it alone in your bedroom, it's like this real swanky music, and so it feels a little bit weird doing that. But
if somebody has their ear next to a cup up to the door, yeah, this could seem untoward.
Yeah, but it was an enjoyable experience, especially for, you know, it's only $3 on Android, so that's pretty worth it.
Yeah.
But the big new one, which is Monopoly's most of the time this week, and as always, a very current game for the podcast, is I started playing Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Okay, oh, cool.
It's a really awesome game. I've sunk a good amount of time into it. I played up until the third Assassin's Creed, and then was kind of done with the series after that, and that was kind of a bummer, because it's a really good game. I think the only thing that's kind of holding it back is the narrative can be so-so at parts, and it feels weird that it's an Assassin's Creed game. They integrate it really well, but it does seem like they could have just as easily made a pirate game out of this standalone, and it would be awesome.
Yeah.
They totally like nail all the like the fun like things you can do with that sort of theme in terms of like they already had the ship fighting part down, but the idea of like getting your own pirate ship, customizing it, going out on sea and exploring and stuff. It's basically like Grand Theft Auto with a nautical pirate theme instead. Mm. So it's been a lot of fun. They have cool like base takeover mechanics. You can go whaling and catch sharks in the middle of the ocean. There's like so many fun things that you can do that tie in with the theme. Yeah, so I've played that a whole bunch. Had a lot of fun with it. Let's see what else. The things that kind of hold it back is the main character's like pretty bland. His motivation is kind of questionable.
Yeah.
But that's kind of typical for the games that I played in the Assassin's Creed series, like 1 and 3. They do a really... So Assassin's Creed 3 kind of ends... It has a certain amount of finality to it where...
Right.
Yeah. So it's with Black Flag, they kind of reboot like who you are and like the motivations of your character. With all their games, they have the kind of double story going on where... You are a character in the real world and you're in this Animus machine, and that's how you're able to play all these like past situations. I think that kind of handicaps them from the start because they have to try and develop two stories concurrently. Mm-hmm. And so something's going to probably get short shrift, and usually it's the current storyline.
Yeah. See,
it's like, yeah.
What did you think of the choice that they made to accommodate that in 4? Because I only played a very little bit of 4, but I liked the framing device of you being a game tester for the Animus company. This is the subsidiary being Ubisoft working on the Assassin's Creed franchise.
Yeah, so I thought that was a really awesome design choice because they are allowed to put a lot of subversive commentary in it on their own experiences of making a game. There's specifically text files that you can pick up where they're talking. So for anyone who hasn't played it, the idea is you're no longer related to the people that you're playing as. The idea is this is a video game company that has a bunch of samples of people and their ancestors, specifically people from the first three games. Mm-hmm. And so you are playtesting other people's memories of the past.
That seems like the least efficient way to possibly make video games.
Yeah. It's like a startup, right? They're sinking a lot of money into it, and they're pretty sure they can get money back. Maybe.
You've heard of crowdsourcing. This is grave sourcing.
So have they completely thrown away the like Templar, all that stuff storyline in the
stuff's still there. I don't want to get too far into it in case somebody wants to play it. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, that stuff's still there. So one of the things though is you'll find text files where it'll talk about developers in this fake game company criticizing the company for doing things like committing to releasing a game every year. Or there's one where they're like talking, there's like an email correspondence going back and forth between people at the company. They're like, oh, if we can go to any time in history, you know, like we, you know, you could go to like interact with Einstein or something, and like if we find one of his like relatives, and you know, like you could see all these really like monumental things in history. And the response to that is like, that doesn't sell. You need to do either pirates or like a war or something like that. Like you need to do something that is going to get people to buy the game. And then there's another one where it's talking about, well, do we want to go to like World War II era? It's like, no, we have to program all this stuff for vehicles. We're not going to do that. It's cheaper if we do something like this instead. So I thought it was a really clever decision to do something like that. You get more insight into maybe how the actual developers of the game company feel. So I thought that was a really cool way to frame it. But yeah, it still kind of suffers from the problem of, despite having that like cool feature, you're spending like 90% of your time in this animus world, and you're spending 10% of the time playing a faceless person that you have no idea what their background is. It's kind of like the Half-Life 2 approach, uh-huh. where it's you, but you don't even get a name in this one, I don't think. Maybe you do, but I don't remember it. The downside, though, is the part where you're spending the bulk of your time out of the pirate story. The main guy who you play as is kind of forgettable. I guess he's like kind of like a cocky guy. I don't know. It's like most Grand Theft Auto stories, except that it lacks depth, where it's like it's just somebody who's knows he's going to build an empire and he's very determined. And so mission that you do is, you know, a step in that direction. So I don't know. That part's whatever. But the gameplay mechanics are like pretty top notch, and I think I've enjoyed this more than I have any of the other Assassin's Creed games. So
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've generally been a fan like since 2, right?
So that's 2 is the one that I played the least of. I've played 1 and 3.
Right. Yeah.
I dodged the good one. I neared my way out of that one.
Yeah. Nice to know that you've got a good game to go back to, though.
Yeah, I think so. I'm over halfway through the story. I'm maybe like 2/3 of the way through, so I think I'll probably finish it up. But and similar to kind of apropos to the question we were talking about with in customization, there's a lot of kind of like base building stuff you can do and ship building stuff you can do here, or at least a decent amount. So that's something that I'll probably work on. There's a lot of so the world's awesome in the sense that if you want to go from place to place, you can fast travel if you want. But the cooler way to do it is you can get on your ship and sail from one place to another. They keep it really interesting where there's like storms that can come up and you have to brave yourself through the storms. There's other ships that you'll see. You can use a periscope and look down it, or like binoculars, but a single nocular. You can use that to look at other ships. I'll tell you information about what they're carrying or who they're, or kind of like what level it is, so you know whether or not it's in your best interest to attack them or not, like if you're trying to collect certain resources. It's just a lot of fun. If you you can control the speed of your boat. If you go on the fastest speed, it kind of goes to a more cinematic mode. The crew on your ship will start singing songs. So like that's the radio equivalent to Grand Theft Auto.
You can find sheet music that'll give you new songs, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's just like there's just a lot of really good touches to the game that like reinforce its kind of like unique theme that they have for it. Nice. So yeah.
Well, it's awesome that you're having such a good time with it. Was this something that just kind of like came with a video card for you, or?
It was on sale on PlayStation Network, I think, over the weekend. So it was like maybe $10 or $12, I think. So, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
That's all I got.
Okay. David, how about you?
Sure. I have had a chance to play a whole lot. You know, of course, I've continued on for Warframe, and about the only news is I now have a cat. So
In Warframe.
In Warframe, yes.
Okay.
Is the cat related to how your weapon works by any chance? I know there's like the DDR type weapon or something. It would be cool if they had a cat weapon.
There's a Tamagotchi weapon? Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Oh my gosh, if you don't clean up the poop, it becomes a poison weapon?
I could see this.
But it might die if you don't clean up for too long.
Well, that's the thin line that you walk.
Yeah.
No, there's no opportunity to like strap a cat to my sword or anything like that, right. Unfortunately. But yeah, it's I don't know. There's really not much news on that. The other thing is I actually got back into Saints Row the Fourth. So
a lot of fours this.
I think I had started it right after you the point where you go like 2D side scroller style.
Oh, where they put you into the brawler. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that had been about where I had left off previously, which I think is sort of the leading into kind of the climax. But
it's pretty late in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So although lately what I've been doing is honestly just spending a lot of money upgrading the some of the more ridiculous guns in the game. Yeah, just like they've got like the abduction gun and you know, various forms of like flamethrowers, crap like that.
Yeah.
It's so hard to talk about because so much of the game is just like running around doing dumb shit.
Of course.
Yeah,
and after a certain point, like the powers that you get are not that. Are not that overwhelming in terms of like being kind of cool. Like, yeah, I can do this meteor drop, and that is a good way to kill these, you know, really annoying aliens that I'm fighting, you know, 90% of the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I've got one more level before I gain the ability to nuke things. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
How does that work?
It's in a simulation. So do you like call it down?
No, it's basically eventually you get the ability where if you do the airdrop power from high enough, it'll just like destroy everything within a several block radius. So
that's pretty funny.
But yeah, other than that, I've been screwing around some with the I got the version that comes with all the DLC. And okay. So it, you know, comes with extra elements for each of the powers. Specifically, it comes with explosive and bling.
Those are elements.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you don't remember the classic elements, you know, bling, explosive, sassy, and
dubstep.
And yeah, dubstep. And neon. Yeah.
Wait, are we talking about Infamous now?
Yeah, I decided to slip in a slick infamous reference for all the people for all four people who play that.
I know. I will still defend Infamous's take on elements, but that's a whole nother bag of elements.
Yeah.
You never want a bag of elements. It's just salamanders and crap like that.
Mm, I was just thinking a big old bag of sodium. You open it up, it gets exposed to the moisture in the air and explodes. Yeah.
So, I have no idea where I'm going with any of this today.
No, but you got the DLC.
So, and a lot of those are fun, and also they very blatantly did not care at all if they were overpowered or not.
They didn't care in the main game if things were overpowered.
That's true. Well, they care even less. Like, you can basically use most of the bling powers to just get free money. Like, you literally can transmute anyone that walks next to you into gold. Similarly, probably the most overpowered is the ground stomp with explosives. Basically, transforms everyone within range into rockets.
Okay.
And they just like fly up into the air and explode. So. Yeah, it's very, very blatantly just like those are the powers I use when I'm tired of like dealing with shit and just want to get through something. But
yeah.
Yeah, I know. It continues being fun. I'm trying to knock out more of the side missions before I really commit to actually doing the storyline. And then I actually bought Get Out of Hell, so I don't know if I'm going to go directly into that or if I'm going to kind of give it some time.
So. Yeah, I couldn't give you advice on that.
It's pretty cool, but I waited like a year between those two, so who knows?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, though, still do kind of the Saints Row 4 thing where Saints Row 4 was basically Saints Row 3 just with different types of crazy.
Yeah, like it was, I mean, Saints Row 4 was just an expansion pack until they graduated it to a full game. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Is that all? So,
yeah. Pretty slow week.
Yeah. Same for me. Doing more of the same, like playing Puyo Puyo Tetris, Mario Kart. This is in addition to doing a lot of assignment play, things like playing Neo for Bonfireside Chat, playing Yakuza for Watch Out for Fireballs. Both of those are very demanding games. But I beat Yakuza today, and yesterday I decided I'd played as much Neo as I was going to play. So there's a little bit of liberation in that. I have decided I like Yakuza enough to continue with the series. So I don't know if I'm going to go to 2 or 0 next, but I've got both of them on my shelf, which is good.
What did you think of Yakuza? Like, I guess, what did you like about it?
Mm.
I'm not saying this snarky. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm just interested to see because there's so many completely different gameplay elements that make it up.
Yeah. I like that it is a big old ball of very poorly conceived systems that barely hang together.
Like Deadly Premonition, you're gonna like this.
there's actually a lot of Deadly Premonition kind of charm in that. So yeah, I enjoy. I mean, I'll talk about this at length on the episode, but like I really like a hard-boiled crime story. Like that is cool. Mm-hmm. It's a fun mystery. I like the combat engine, and knowing that it just gets better from here, it makes me like weirdly willing to forgive some of the clunkiness that is apparent in it. So like, yeah, it's going to get better and more charming and weirder. And I like the characters and stuff like the tone and, you know, everything about the world is, you know, tops.
Yeah, definitely. Whichever one it was they did on PlayStation, Prime or whatever they call it.
Yeah, they did 4 and 5 on a PS Plus.
Okay, yeah. That one, I think there's 5 I played, and that one, I think, I only got through to the first guy's story, but I think you'll really like that character.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of the type of character you would like.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just, I feel kind of stupid for leaving it that long. You know, that said, people can hear the whole episode within a couple of weeks from when you're hearing this. We're going to be recording it here soon. You know, we're recording it early. I don't want to burn too much of that cast aside from saying I slept on this series for a long time and now I'm just like champing at the bit to play all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cool. As far as actual things for the show here, for this show, weirdly enough, just to complete the illusion that it is 2013, I dusted off an iOS game that I hadn't played in a while because I've got Final Fantasy Fever between Final Fantasy 12 coming out, being remade here, and also Final Fantasy 4 being up for Watch Out for Fireballs. I am really way into immersing myself in that, you know, in that music and those characters and stuff again. So I fired up on my iPad Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy or something like that. It is the Final Fantasy rhythm game.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
I didn't know this was a thing.
It's a thing. And it's pretty good. I think the visual style is pretty abhorrent, actually. I wish that they had just done like a pixel art kind of thing, but the actual play is a lot of fun because, you know, at least on the iPad, you are tapping along with the music, not with the music, but like they have different, you know, beat markers that are approaching from the left side of the screen to the right. And then you, you know, tap along with it. There are like sustains that you have to hold and also like trace along a winding path with them. And there are ones where like you tap and then flick in a particular direction. Because it's Final Fantasy music, every single track is fucking amazing. So, and there's like a metagame built on top of it. Like, you know, there are different kind of like battle songs or field songs. You know, like they are divided up into either being super fast paced songs for battles or, you know, like the kind of slower, more relaxed ones. Those are field ones for like traveling. And you have to like put together a party of different Final Fantasy characters to match that up. So for battle ones, you want to bring out characters that will like help you do more damage to the enemy as you're hitting this stuff, and also take less damage when you get hit. And then for the field ones, you want to have a party of fast people. That part is, you know, not as engaging as the music, which is what I'm there for. That's why my ass is in the seat. And I liked it so much that I decided, hey, the 3DS version with much more music is available on Amazon for $12. So I just ordered that, and that's coming tomorrow. I was actually kind of sad I wouldn't have it to play and talk about today. But like a Final Fantasy rhythm game, it exists. And I heard people talk about it a little bit when it came out. But like it has fallen into kind of obscurity because, you know, people's attention has moved on. But like, it's out there. You can get it. It's like a free-to-play monstrosity on iOS, but you can actually buy a real version of it.
That's awesome. Does the 3DS use like any other gimmicks of the 3DS?
No. Just the touchscreen, which, you know, you use on the iPad. I think the iPad version is like the secondary one. I'm not actually sure of the exact line of succession. But yeah, Theatrhythm. It is a horrible Square Enix name for a thing. They should have just called it the Final Fantasy Rhythm Game.
Yeah. be optimized for sure.
Yeah. But like, I could play the man with the machine gun? Fuck yes, I will do that. Yeah. Any questions about that? Because that's all I have. I think this has been a short episode, but that is fine.
My only question is if they have like multiple difficulty modes. Like, is there an expert versus a beginner?
Yeah, the song doesn't change, but they give you more tap targets and stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
just because more complex. It scales like you would imagine a rhythm game does.
Yeah, I was going to say that's always a very key part of any rhythm game is that ability to kind of ramp.
Yeah, and like during the quests that you play to unlock new songs, like at different junctures, you can select based on a star rating, like how difficult you want to go for some of these. Cool. And so it's like a risk-reward kind of thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, do you all want to button it up?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
No buttons this week.
I was going to say, that's weird. I just got a text from Jala that just said buttons.
Weird.
She must know.
It's about 10:30. I'll send it now on the off chance. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We're so happy to have you, and we hope you come back next week. I want to remind you that the Duckfeed survey is still open until the end of May. So go to duckfeed.tv and click the big banner image and provide us with some information to help us make some changes to the Patreon and things like that. And you get a chance to win a $20 Steam gift card. We're giving out three of them picked randomly. Other than that, for this show, you can leave us a rating or review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us, please. And join us on Facebook or in our Slack. We would love to talk with you. Am I forgetting anything?
You're good.
Okay.
No.
I have every single show ending mixed up. I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I've been David Mysmith at Mysmith777 on Twitter.
I've been MerkleB777 at Twitter, also Ben Merkel.
MerkleB7. All right. Stick around for some titles. Eat the leg. Okay. I've got quite a few. Who has ones?
I've got quite several. A two.
Go ahead, Ben.
I've got Why Am I Rock Hard Right Now?
Okay.
And I've got the Buscemi Connection.
Okay, I have that as well.
I also have that.
Okay.
I also had I'm lazy and I complain a lot. This one, I feel like there's several different like ways we could go with it, but we're here to deliver your Parthenon. I had do they fuck?
Okay.
And 6 degrees to could or should.
Yeah, I have six degrees to could or should as well. That's got kind of a 25 or 6 to 4 vibe to it. Dennis, what you got?
I had manager segues.
Okay.
That's from early in the episode. I had 6 degrees to could or should.
Okay.
I had the Buscemi connection.
All right. So that's 3 and, for the Buscemi connection.
Yeah. And then I had a whole nother bag of elements.
I think everybody had the Buscemi connection.
Yeah. That's 4. I said 3 because I just put a third star next to mine. So that is a 4 one. I think.
Although I would, if I was picking, I would vote for 6 degrees over that, but uh-huh. I'm cool with either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I've got to say with, I read a lot of like horrible, like Stack Overflow, like written in broken English, and that is just what comes to mind when I see like, do they fuck?
Do they fuck? Yeah, it's a that yeah. Again, for the aforementioned reasons.
Oh yeah, that definitely we couldn't go with that. Yeah. I totally get that. But
I have the Feldspar dragons, Gattas, comma go fast. I also had 6 degrees to could or should. The Buscemi connection. I have Bad Marge, which got lost because of a glitch.
Oh no!
Which is entirely appropriate.
Yeah. No. To explain for people during the multiplayer or something, we were trying to remember. David was trying to remember the name of the scary trucker from from Pee Wee's Big Adventure, and he said Bad Marge, which is the best. I like it a lot. And then also grave sourcing. That tickled my fancy as well.
Pretty good too, actually.
Yeah. I might say the Buscemi connection. I think that's got some zazz to it. And also like the fact that it's unanimous, at least in terms of votes or submissions that all of us got it. Yep, Buscemi connection.
Make it so.
Cool. Well, I'm going to go to bed. I hope everybody has a good week.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Good luck at your
interview.
Hanging out. Yep. Hey, thank you.
Yep. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.